Just, you know, count to 10 or whatever works, walk away or whatever you need to do. Be slow to speak, slow to become angry. Patience may be the best word to sum that up. Well, Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Here, Romans 12 has a lot of good guidance. Holman Christian Standard Version puts a heading of Christian ethics. How do you sum all this up? There's tons. Romans chapter 12. We'll start at verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. He's not made this up. He's quoting from Jesus. So bless and do not curse. Kind of like soft answer instead of grievous words. If we start cursing others, that just stirs up our anger. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, be in agreement with one another. Do not be proud, instead associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Verse 17 kind of gets back to what I want us to look at. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Try to do what is honorable in everyone's eyes. If possible, on your part, live at peace with everyone. Friends, do not avenge yourselves. Instead, leave room for his wrath. For it is written, vengeance belongs to me. I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For in doing so, you will heap fiery coals on his head. Do not be conquered by evil, but conquer evil with good. So a number of things there. We'll just kind of run through them. First of all, bless those who persecute you. And Jesus had a whole list of things. Pray for those who mistreat you and do good to those who, to your enemies. And love your enemies. So verse 17, I know this is in a negative form, but still, do not repay evil for evil. Do not repay evil for evil. So the antidote to wrath is stopping yourself from responding in kind. Somebody's dissed you, don't diss them back. Somebody has been rude to you, don't be rude back. Don't repay evil for evil. Stop that cycle of escalation. And that's what happens. That's what we see around the world. Whether it's gang warfare, or whether it's violence in the Middle East or whatever, it's you did something to me or you're, you know, so we do something back to you and then you do worse to us and then we do worse to you and it's escalating. That only stops when someone doesn't repay evil for evil. When we stop the retaliation. That's the word I was looking for. Retaliation. Don't retaliate. Do not repay evil for evil. Verse 18, if possible, live at peace with everyone. Peace. That's what we want. Live at peace. If that means that somebody thinks ill of us, you know, whatever. It doesn't mean I have to retaliate. Live at peace. Now, it's not always possible. But if there's anything that you can do to be at peace with someone, do that. That's a tall order. Live at peace with one another. Verse 19, this is a crucial one. Do not avenge yourselves. In other words, don't retaliate. Don't repay that evil. But leave room for God's wrath. Leave room for God's wrath. See, God is the one who has already said that he is the judge. He is the one who has already said he will repay, and his standards are way higher than ours. His repayment, his judgment will be way harsher than ours. Especially if we're dealing with a lost person who has angered us, who has hurt us, and we think of retaliation, we need to just take a step back and say, I'm going to leave room, maybe not say it, but in your mind, realize I'm leaving God room for God's wrath. As a matter of fact, God's wrath is going to be worse if this person ends up in hell. God's wrath is worse than I could ever even hope for my worst enemies. Leave room for God's wrath. As a matter of fact, the point here is part may be that God, if we take revenge, if we retaliate against someone else, God may say, all right, fair enough in this life. He will judge in the life to come, but all right, I'm not going to do anymore. Leave room for God's wrath. You don't know what God may end up doing. Not that we say, okay, God, get him, you know, but leave it for God. He's the one who truly knows what's right. And he's the one that sees everything. He sees our heart. We need to be more concerned about keeping our heart free from that anger and vengeance than to make sure that everybody's even. I mean, things are not going to be fair in this life. They're just not. So leave room for God's wrath. Verse 21, overcome evil with good. Overcome evil with good. So maybe we could summarize this with a very important principle. Suspend judgment. Somebody does something to me and, you know, it's obvious. This wrong, and I want to execute judgment and all. I need to learn to step back and just suspend judgment. It looks like this to me. This is what should be done. And this, they were wrong and I was right. No, you know, just leave that for the one true judge. The judge. Leave room for God's vengeance. Suspend judgment and say, you know, maybe... I mean, it looks that way, but you know what? I'm not the judge. It's not for me to decide. And I can break that boiling up in my heart if I'll just say, hey, it's not for me to decide. God can figure that out, and in his perfect wisdom and perfect judgment, he can repay whatever needs to be done, whenever. 1 Peter chapter 2, and these will go quick. 1 Peter chapter 2. As we read earlier, First Peter chapter 2, verse 18 through 25. He's talking to slaves here, household slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the cruel. For it brings favor if, because of conscience toward God, someone endures grief from suffering unjustly. For what credit is there if you endure when you sin and are beaten? But if you do good and suffer, if you endure, it brings favor with God. For you were called to this, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you should follow in his steps. He did not commit sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When reviled, he did not revile in return. When suffering, he did not threaten, but committed himself to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that having died to sins, we might live for righteousness. By his wounding, you have been healed. So, verse 19, endure. Endure grief from suffering unjustly. You can say, well, that's not fair. Mm-hmm. And who do we say we follow? What do they do to Jesus? And we're worried about fair? Verse 21, follow in Christ's steps. You want an antidote, you want the positive? Learn to follow in Christ's steps in every area of life, but especially in this area, and God will spare us from that sin of wrath. Verse 23, when reviled, he did not revile. When he was threatened, he did not threaten back, but he committed himself to the one who judges justly. So trust God. Trust that God knows the best. And if he thinks judgment should happen, he can do it. Just like David was so mad at this fool Nabal, and Abigail said, no, you don't want a bad conscience, right? When you become king, you don't want to have to think, oh, I shouldn't have done that back then. And so David didn't, and what did God decide? Yeah, you're right, that was the wrong thing to do, and I'm going to snuff him out. God is righteous. He's the one that can do that. He can exercise judgment, and we just need to stand back. Trust God. And that means to learn to forgive. Learn to forgive. And that's part of what he's saying. He bore our sins in his body on the tree so that having died to sins, we might live for righteousness. Christ forgave us. And other verses say this straight out. How can we withhold forgiveness from somebody else when he has forgiven us so much? Forgive. Remember, you have had to be forgiven as well. Peter refers to Jesus as our example, as the one that we should copy. And we need to just remember what Christ went through. Let me read just a few verses here from the time when Christ was physically persecuted, physically beaten. When he's on trial, they arrested him. And they brought him before the Sanhedrin. They asked, are you the Messiah, the Son of God? Matthew chapter 26. He said, you've said it. And I tell you, in the future, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Verse 65. So Matthew 26, verse 65. Then the high priest tore his robes and said, he is blasphemed. Why do we still need witnesses? Look, now you've heard the blasphemy. That's an insult. What is your decision? They answered, he deserves death. Then they spit in his face and beat him. Others slapped him and said, prophesy to us, Messiah. Who hit you? And he goes on, chapter 27, verse 21. The governor asked, which of the two do you want me to release for you? Barabbas, they answered. Pilate asked them, what should I then do with Jesus, who's called the Messiah? They all answered, crucify him. Then he said, why? What has he done wrong? But they kept shouting, crucify him all the more. When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but a riot was starting instead, he took some water, washed his hands in front of the crowd and said, I'm innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves. All the people answered, his blood be on us and on our children. Then he released Barabbas to them. But after having Jesus flogged, he handed him over to be crucified. Flogging was one of the worst beatings you can imagine, with something like a cat of nine tails, some kind of a whip that had bits of bone or glass embedded in it, would just shred the guy's back. Jesus took this unjustly for us. He didn't insult back. He didn't revile them back. He didn't strike out against them. He didn't even call on God, who could have spared him. He could have just struck them all dead. And he didn't. Patient endurance. Verse 27, then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the headquarters and gathered the whole company around him. They stripped him and dressed him in a scarlet robe. They twisted together a crown of thorns, put it on his head, and placed a reed in his right hand. And they knelt down before him and mocked him. Hail, King of the Jews. They spit at him, took the reed, and kept hitting him on the head. When they had not mocked him, they stripped off the robe, put his clothes on him, and led him away to crucify him. And Luke reminds us, Luke tells us, as Jesus was going through all of this, instead of retaliating, what does he do? On the cross, he prays, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Whew. That's an example. These antidotes don't reside in us. There's no way that we can just read that and say, okay, yeah, I'll do that. No. We must have Jesus' power living in us. If you have not come to that point of saying, Jesus, I admit I am a sinner. There's no way I can live that righteous life that you desire. I have rebelled against you. I've gone my own way. But I recognize your death on the cross paid for my sin. And I come and I ask your forgiveness. I ask for your death on the cross to cover my sin. And I make you the Lord of my life. I know I'll stumble, but I choose to follow you. I choose to let you transform my life and put your Spirit in me to empower me to have victory over these 7 deadly sins and the new 7 and whatever other sins there are. Lord Jesus, I need you. Join with me as we pray. Lord, we come before you and I thank you that even right now, someone who is here who has not yet made that decision can just simply pray that prayer of confession of sin and belief in Jesus' death on the cross to pay for their sin. And confession of Jesus as Lord, giving our whole lives to you, Lord Jesus. We are not our own. We have made you Lord, and we choose to follow you with our lives. Lord Jesus, speak to each of us. We all know that we wrestle with anger, with wrath, with wanting to take revenge, with responding in kind when others have done evil to us. Lord, we confess and we ask your forgiveness. We ask your transforming power to help us to do what is right, to forgive, to live at peace, to leave room for your wrath and just step aside. Lord Jesus, work in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to conclude our service this morning with the hymn, Grace Greater Than Our Sins. And if you need to make a decision to follow the Lord Jesus, I'd ask you to come and share that with us after we sing this song. But make sure that you are letting, you're coming before God and letting Him search your heart. speak to you about areas that need to be changed by His power. Let's stand.